Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Right now joining me is Professor John Stremlau, who is an honorary international relations professor at Wits University, and just getting an update on the war between Russia and Ukraine. Good morning. How are you, Professor?
Well, good morning, Kathy. I'm not great because this is a terrible story.
This is a terrible story. This really is. And one doesn't really know what to believe because a big part of war is propaganda. You know,
it's a very big part of Vladimir Putin's war. It's been very interesting to me to see how the United States has handled this so far. Biden is no W. Bush, and he's very much his own man. And he's decided to put out all of the U.S. intelligence on the buildup and try to discourage Putin from the military option. But I don't think the two men understand each other, or at least Putin does not understand a democracy at all.
Yeah.
He's been raised in an authoritarian state, and he is an authoritarian. And so he doesn't understand. He practices deception, and he practices intimidation, and he's now carrying out this war.
Well, I was very interested to learn about the involvement of NATO. You know, when we see the reports, it says that the Russian troops had been gathering on the border of the Ukraine for weeks. It's not weeks, it's years. It's since April 2020. And mm-hmm. in April 2020, the Ukraine actually applied to NATO to become a partner. And mm-hmm. NATO didn't act on it. Why do you think mm-hmm. that is?
Well, there are a number of reasons. It's very much involved in trying to respond to Putin, who's made his plans for a reassertion of what he thinks was the greatest setback of the 20th century, the collapse of the Soviet Union, to reimpose his authorities over his empire. And the assurances that were given apparently back by Clinton to Yeltsin were that there would be no NATO expansion, but the NATO members, that is to say the 14 that were former Soviet satellites, wanted to go west. They wanted to go west, and they did. And so NATO is a voluntary organization. You have to apply. And the unfortunate thing is that the Ukrainians came in a little bit too late, and they are corrupt. They've got a lot of corruption, and they had changes of government. And it just wasn't really right, apparently. I have no idea what the actual negotiations were, but to bring the NATO membership to Ukraine. And it would have been a stick in Putin's eye, but, you know, who is Putin? He's an autocrat. We don't know. Overnight, there's been demonstrations in the thousands of people in Russian cities against the war. They've been clamped down very hard and very brutally by the police. This is a game that's just going to have to unfold. But I just want to say quickly, because we've gone through so much in our transition down here in South Africa and in Africa, that I think Africans understand the history of colonialism and the history of oppression, and they really feel that if these territorial units are arbitrary that we have around the continent, that you ought to negotiate democratically and peacefully for changing borders, or otherwise you just leave the borders here and try to integrate by the democratic processes. Putin doesn't understand any of that at all. He doesn't understand how the EU works. He doesn't understand how America works. He doesn't understand how South Africa works. He understands deception and intimidation and secrecy and control. And so it's really a seminal moment between authoritarians and Democrats.
A big part of the sanctions was the whole concept of the SWIFT, because that would halt, Russia would really feel that if it was sanctioned. Now, the EU has voted that down. They've said that they're not willing to stop the SWIFT transactions between Russia and the rest of the world. What other sanctions do you think he's likely to feel?
Well, first of all, Kathy, you're talking beyond my knowledge about the SWIFT. I mean, I've used the SWIFT accounts in transferring money.
Yes.
But Biden, I listened to Biden last night, and he was asked by the press on, he said, listen, these sanctions are a lot harder and tougher than the SWIFT numbers. What you're going to see, and we're just going to have to wait and see how it unfolds, is a tightening of the Russian involvement in the international economy, but that includes the oligarchs. You know, Putin and his cronies, the state capture guys, all have their money overseas to a large extent. I mean, Putin, according to Pandora Papers, bought his mistress a nice little apartment in Geneva, for gosh sakes. So they're going to have to track that money down. But, of course, Putin has taken protective measures about this, I think, already. God only knows what he's done. But it is going to be a very interesting case study of whether you can apply non-military means but economic tough sanctions, closing down the banks, closing down the Nord Stream 2, the gas pipeline. It's going to mean higher prices for energy for us and for everybody else in the world. And how does that play out politically? What does that mean for governments around the world? This is, as I said, a throwback to the 19th century, but a seminal moment in the long struggle between ethnic nationalism and the kind of civic nationalism that we have down here in South Africa. Our constitution allows for people to follow their own language skills, to follow their own religion, but to live within a constitutional order. And that is totally, totally alien to Vladimir Putin.
Well, let's hope that sanctions work and that the whole region cools. From the videos that I'm being sent, it doesn't really look like it.
But, yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Professor.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for swinging the cap.
Well, now you know.
I know.
All right. Thank you so much. That's Professor John Strimlau, Honorary International Relations Professor at Wits University.